good morning and welcome back to On the Spot, the place where Jesus Christ is in the spotlight. I'm Steve Edge and I'll be with you for the next hour playing the best of contemporary and traditional Christian music to liven up your Wednesday. Pastor Edge Quirk from Resurrection Lutheran Church in Cambridge will bring us today's Christian message, using everyday language to facilitate our understanding of the Word of God in the Bible. Approaching themes that are related to our daily lives, we hope to remind you of the good news of Jesus Christ. But perhaps this will be the opportunity for you to hear it for the very first time. Whatever the case, stay tuned and enjoy. Church historian Dr. Corey Moss continues to talk to us about the Reformation and how it shaped the world we live in. And today he will explain what happened in the past that's led to so many denominations, what is distinct to Lutheran theology and why. Pastor George Samiak from Ascension Lutheran Church in Brandon will talk to us about baptism. I'm sure you'll find this all very interesting, so please do stay with us and turn up the volume. On the Spot is brought to you by the ELCE, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England.
I stand on solid ground, my balance is sound. I fall hardly ever. To walk is another thing, it's too frightening. So I stay where I am. I won't go back, but I can't move on. For fear is clouding my mind. Jesus, shine your light. Lord, hold my hand. And help me to trust you more. Fledgling in the nest, I know I am blessed. So safe in your keeping. To fly is another thing, it's too frightening. So I stay where I am. I can't grow here, I can't fly out. For fear is clouding my mind. Jesus, shine your light. Lord, hold my hand. And help me to trust you more. Out fear, come near and renew my mind. Oh, perfect love that casts out fear, come near and renew my mind. Jesus, shine your light. Lord, hold my hand.
Christ is in the spotlight.
Help us to improve your listening by sharing with us your thoughts about our program. In a world that places great store on personal happiness, today we ask the question, are you happy? What is it that makes you happy, and where should we look for happiness in our lives? Is happiness to be found in a successful and fulfilling relationship, a rewarding career, or in the accumulation of wealth? Perhaps for you, happiness is found in time spent with family and friends. Happiness is something that we all seek in one way or another, and yet how many of us actually know where to find it? To answer this question today, we welcome back Pastor Reg Quirk from Resurrection Lutheran Church in Cambridge. Pastor Reg is going to tell us where we can find the happiness that we all seek.
About 3 years ago, the BBC made a series of programmes about happiness, claiming that, for the first time in human history, we've collected systematic data on the correlates of happiness. The series followed from that research. Among the key findings of particular interest was the question, what makes us happy? The answers provided by the research sounded surprisingly familiar to me, however. We learn, for example, that happiness seems to have little to do with wealth. On the other hand, the three key predictors of happiness are, firstly, family and friends. The more relationships people have, the happier they are, and the deeper the relationships, the better. Marriage seems to be a particularly happy state, because half of married people surveyed were identified as very happy, but only a quarter of singles. The second factor that goes with happiness is meaning in life. Religion, spirituality, or a philosophy of life are a basis for happiness. And the third one is having long-term values. Being directed towards a purpose is also important in fostering happiness. These principles are familiar because they're prominent in the teaching of Jesus. Now, the word happy does not feature in most of our translations of the Bible. In the Revised Standard Version, for example, it occurs only twice in the New Testament. The reason for its infrequency is not because the New Testament fails to promote happiness, but rather because the same word is most often rendered as blessed. Perhaps the term happy seems a little too trivial, or perhaps it's too easily associated with misguided notions of how to achieve it. Blessed, though, means genuinely happy, and Jesus has much to say about how it is achieved. Our Lord agrees that wealth is not the way. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions, he observed. He also taught the importance of relationships and friendships. When his apostle, Peter, sought to remind Jesus of the disciples' sacrifice in following him, Jesus responded by speaking of the blessing that comes in return. 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands, with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. Persecutions there may be in this life, but no shortage of close relationships in his kingdom. While Jesus tended to be dismissive of religion as such, he certainly spoke to us of the meaning of our life, since we are reconciled to God through him. He has made known to us in all wisdom and insight the mystery of his will according to his purpose which he set forth in Christ, said St. Paul to the Ephesians. Furthermore, he spelled out long-term values that are associated with happiness. Happy are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Happy are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Happy are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Happy are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Happy are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Happy are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Happy are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. These are the first recorded words of Jesus in the Gospels. More importantly, however, in Christ we recognize that happiness is not something we manufacture by doing the right things. It is, in fact, a gift. And this too is expressed in the word blessed. The blessed person is blessed by God. It is his gift, his blessing. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places.
Come thou fount of every blessing.
While the hope of them blessed.
Pastor Reg Quirk will come back later in our show to tell us more about happiness and where to find it. If you have any questions you'd like to ask him, then please send an email and in the subject line write to Pastor Reg Quirk.
You're listening to On the Spot, the radio program of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England. Here, Christ is in the spotlight.
If you would like to know more about the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England, then visit our website, www.lutheran.co.uk. On our comprehensive website, you can learn more about us, what we believe, and where we are, with direct links to all our congregations in England, Wales, and Scotland. We offer a schedule of all the activities that we're engaged with, and which you can attend to get to know more about our Lord Jesus Christ. Should you be interested, you can also find out more about Lutheran theology and Westfield House, the Theological College of the ELCE. If you would like to support our work, you can use our secured link. Visit www.lutheran.co.uk. ELCE, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England.
The British Lutheran is the magazine of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England. Published 6 times per year, it looks at topical issues as well as local and international Lutheran news. The magazine also provides a forum for viewpoints and opinions that help us all consider what following Jesus means today. If you would like a free copy of the British Lutheran, contact the ELCE Central Office in Cambridge on central@lutheran.co.uk and ask for a copy to be sent to you. The British Lutheran, the magazine of the ELCE.
Since 1962, Westfield House in Cambridge has been preparing students with the knowledge, attitudes, and skills necessary for the ministry of the Evangelical Lutheran Church and its proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. As a center of theological studies, it also seeks to serve the Lutheran Church, both in this country and overseas, by the promotion of Christian learning at all levels. Westfield House provides theological education within the framework of a confessional Lutheran perspective and offers resources that further the understanding of that perspective. Westfield House also offers the only significant Lutheran library in the country. Find out more about Westfield House on the internet at www.westfieldhouse.org.uk. Westfield House, the Theological College of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England.
On the Spot, the radio program of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England.
Thank you for tuning in, and please let us know what you think about this program and its content. Last week, in our series on church history, Dr. Corey Maas spoke to us about Martin Luther, his reasons for the reforms he urged, and how his ideas spread. Today, Dr. Maas is here to help us understand what happened back then, and what led to the emergence of so many Christian denominations. What's distinct to Lutheran theology, and why? Dr. Corey Maas, welcome back, and thank you for being here with us today. We'd like to start by addressing a question that's puzzled many people throughout the years. Why is it that we have so many Christian denominations?
That's a good question, and it's worth prefacing my answer to the question by noting that it is, in some ways, a sad fact that Christianity has become as divided as it is. I might also preface this by pointing out that although we tend to think of the 16th century Reformation as having divided the church and led to the division that still exists, that isn't exactly the case. The church was divided already before the 16th century, divided into the Western Latin Church and the Eastern Greek Church, and in fact they had formally excommunicated one another. But it is true that what happened in the 16th century was that the divided church became even more divided, and since that time there's been an almost exponential growth in the number of different denominations of the one true church. And the reasons for this are sometimes basically specific theological disagreements. At the time of the Reformation, for example, even while some people lamented that Luther had become divorced from the Catholic Church, there were other people who lamented that he hadn't become, in their mind, divorced enough. So, for example, continental Protestants like Ulrich Zwingli and others thought that Lutheranism was basically still too medieval or too Catholic, because Lutherans continued to teach that infants are to be baptized and that Christ is bodily present in the sacrament, and that it's perfectly okay, even good, to have art and music in church services. And so other Protestants outside of Lutheranism, thinking that Luther and his Reformation hadn't gone quite far enough, proceeded to found their own traditions and denominations. So often it's a distinctly theological reason for the number of different denominations. Sometimes it's much less theological. Sometimes it's simply, for example, ethnic or geographical. So, for example, theologically, we can talk about the Eastern Orthodox churches, when in fact what we're talking about is a conglomeration of different ethnic churches. So the Greek Orthodox Church and the Russian Orthodox Church and the Ukrainian Orthodox Church. And it's not uncommon in a place like New York or Chicago, for example, to see three of these churches all in the same neighborhood, simply because even though they all teach the same thing, people want to worship in their own language, in their own traditions. And sometimes there are issues that cause a break between churches that aren't necessarily explicitly theological, but sometimes they're social. The one that comes immediately to mind from my background and in my context is the time of the American Civil War, which was fought for a number of reasons, but a large part of it was the issue over slavery. And so one of the largest churches in America at the time, the Baptist denomination, split along the lines of whether or not abolition was supported or whether or not slavery was supported. So there are a number of reasons for the many denominations that we have, and I'll reiterate that it is a sad fact that there are so many divisions, but I'll also conclude by saying that to speak of different denominations isn't to speak of different churches. There is only one Christian church, and so there might be some differences in the theology and the practice of many of these different denominations. In most cases, these differences aren't great enough so that one denomination will say of another denomination, you're not part of the Christian church.
So, talking about differences then, what is the elementary difference in Lutheran theology?
Well, as I indicated with that last question, Lutheranism is sometimes described as a Reformed Catholicism, or sometimes as an Evangelical Catholicism. And what's sometimes meant by that is that Lutheran theology is evangelical, or in plain English, gospel-centered, while Lutheran worship continues to look very much like that of the traditional Western Catholic Church, at least far more like that than what we see in many what we commonly call evangelical churches today. But because there is this confusion surrounding the word evangelical, the way it was used in the 16th century and the way that it's used today in the 21st century, many Protestants would look at Lutheranism and say that its worship is not only Catholic, in scare quotes, but that its theology is also very Catholic. And these people would primarily be thinking of something like infant baptism, which both Catholics and Lutherans practice, or a belief that Christ is truly present in the sacrament. But it's also true, just in the very general sense, that Lutheranism is Catholic in that it maintains the theology of the Catholic or ecumenical creeds of the Church's early centuries, the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, the Athanasian Creed. And that's true because Luther, as we've said before, never intended to start a new church or even a new denomination. He wanted only to reform the existing Western Church. So he never threw out the whole of medieval Christianity and wanted to start over again. Instead, he and his Lutheran colleagues retained the great bulk of traditional Western Christianity, what they had inherited, and only let go anything that they felt was explicitly contrary to Scripture or contrary to the Gospel. And things that Scripture didn't specifically command or specifically prohibit, these things were left largely a matter of Christian freedom. But if there is something that is very distinctive to Lutheranism that might set it apart from the rest of Western modern Christianity, we might say that it's that Lutheranism is unique in managing to hold together things like a very high view of Scripture and the notion of Scripture alone as being binding when it comes to matters of doctrine, a monergistic doctrine of salvation, that is to say, the belief that God himself saves us and that we don't cooperate in that salvation, and a high view of the sacraments as a real means of grace, the belief that baptism really does forgive sins and that the Lord's Supper really does forgive sins. And although pick any church, any denomination, and you'll find those emphases, Lutheranism is in some ways distinct in holding all three of these emphases together, and sometimes even in tension.
Thank you, Dr. Moss. You said in our previous programs that what Luther actually wanted by urging reforms was to restore the knowledge of the church's true belief or beliefs that had been distorted by several reasons, ranging from the use of philosophical reasoning in theology to the politicization of the church. Since what you just said is the scope of what Luther stood for, and to simplify it for our listeners, is it possible to summarize in one single sentence what Luther's argument was?
Well, in one sentence, this is the sort of stock phrase that most Lutheran school children will learn before they reach confirmation age. The sentence would be something like this. One is saved by grace alone, through faith alone, on account of Christ's work alone. That is to say that grace alone saves us. It is a sheer act of God's graciousness rather than any act of our will, any good works that we do. It's through faith alone. It's by faith, by believing that we come to comprehend what Christ has done for us and put our trust in that. And on account of the work of Christ alone, again, simply reiterates that human beings, being sinners, are only saved because God himself became a human being and died in our stead.
Thank you once again, Dr. Corey Maas, for helping us to understand the reasons why there are so many Christian denominations and what's distinct in Lutheranism. Dr. Maas will be back with us next week, when we will talk about what sort of Reformation happened in England, what this country was like when the Reformation reached its shores, who took the lead here, and what the outcomes were. So please don't miss the next installment in our series on church history.
By grace you have been saved, through faith. It is the gift of God. By grace you have been saved, through faith. It is the gift of God. Not works, lest any man should boast, for we are created in Christ. Good works God has prepared for us, that we should walk in them. By grace have been saved, through faith. It is the gift of God. By grace you have been saved, through faith. It is the gift of God. Because of his great love for us, our God, whose mercy is rich, he has made us alive in Christ, even when we were dead in sins. By grace you have been saved, through faith. It is the gift of God by grace you have been saved through faith. It is the gift of God.
On the spot, here Christ is in the spotlight.
Last week, Pastor George Samiak told us how God revealed himself in the Bible and what one ought to know and believe about him. Today, he's back to talk to us about Christian baptism. What is baptism? What difference does being baptized make to the individual? And what happens when one is baptized?
If any religion puts its emphasis or focus on what people do for God, then Lutherans argue we're in trouble. For Lutherans, it is the other way round. Our emphasis is on what God has done for us. For Lutherans, the single, central, most important aspect of Christianity is the comfort of the gospel. Through Jesus' life, death, resurrection, and ascension, God shows us his love. Through Jesus' death on the cross, God has declared people forgiven of their sins, and we live trusting this word of forgiveness. God has rescued humanity because he loves us. Using church language, we say, God has justified us for Christ's sake through faith by God's grace. Or to put it another way, God declares all people innocent of their sins because of Jesus' death, and we trust God's verdict. God does all this because he loves us. This is the teaching upon which the church stands or falls. The centre of Christianity is Jesus, a living person. Any other message and any other person will rob people of security in their faith and their assurance of salvation. This perspective can be seen in how we think, discuss, react, and relate to various aspects of Christianity. If you ask people to describe God's word today, most people would think of the Bible, and they wouldn't be wrong. But the answer is not as complete as it should be. Lutherans don't regard God's word as just words in a book, teachings and doctrines which are abstract and can be learnt and followed or ignored and ridiculed, but rather as personal. You see, the word was made flesh in Jesus, and Jesus is the centre of the Bible. So when you're encountering the Bible, you are encountering Jesus personally. Back when Jesus was walking on earth, the word was visible in human flesh. People heard him and saw him. Back then, if you wanted to see Jesus, you had to go to him. After Jesus' ascension into heaven, he now comes to us, no matter where or when we live. Jesus isn't everywhere like air, but Jesus is where he says he is. And so the church learnt, and it is still true today, that Jesus is present personally through water in baptism and bread and wine in Holy Communion. Welcome to the sacraments. Sacrament is a church word. You won't find it in the Bible. It comes from the Latin meaning mystery. The Lutheran Church has two sacraments, baptism and Holy Communion, and teaches that they are God's actions that have specific goals so that people can stay close to Jesus. In a sea of religious words and spiritual opinions. Without these anchors, this physical contact with Jesus, Christianity wouldn't have stayed the same message as it has for nearly 2,000 years. So when we talk about baptism, our emphasis is again on what God is doing. The Bible gives numerous pictures about baptism, new birth, washing, adoption, and in each of them, it is God who brings about the new life in Christ. It is God who washes clean. It is God who adopts us into his kingdom. Imagine that when Jesus cried out on the cross, "It is finished," a present, a gift, a box with a ribbon on it, appeared at the foot of the cross for each person. Yes, billions and billions of presents, each wrapped and labelled with a person's name on it. That is the rescue Jesus achieved, the salvation won for us. Now, the Holy Spirit works to give each present to each person. And Lutherans will say that the main way he does that is through baptism. You and I can give gifts to anyone we choose. The prerogative is ours. It is our gift to give to whom we wish. Well, in baptism, God gives his gifts of salvation, eternal life, forgiveness of sins, saving faith, and the Holy Spirit himself to people. That is why we baptize people of any age. God can give his gifts to anyone, and he does. Sadly, people might later reject gifts or not use them, but that doesn't mean that they haven't received them. So baptism and teaching go together, but what is important is again what God does. And in baptism, people are joined to Jesus, to his death and his resurrection, because God says so. Life for Lutherans is all about either heading towards baptism or returning to baptism, because that is our personal contact point with Jesus. So baptism is very precious. Just as we don't remember our physical birth, so we don't have to remember our spiritual birth. All that ever counts is what God does. And so those baptized live in their baptism, trusting Jesus. That's what faith is all about. And if life gets too hard or faith too feeble, then we can go back to baptism, not because it's magic, but because Jesus spoke and touched us with water. And as I've been saying, our emphasis is on what God does for us. And God gives us hope and strength to keep going each and every day. Next week, I'll talk about Holy Communion.
Jesus, you came down from heaven to earth, gave up your life so that I would be worth more to the Father than I'll ever know. Washed in your blood, I am whiter, whiter than snow. Whiter than snow. Whiter than snow. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow. Whiter than snow. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. I was a sinner when I was conceived. How you could love me is hard to believe. You want the truth in my innermost parts. Come teach me wisdom and live, live in my heart. Whiter than snow, whiter than snow. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow, whiter than snow, whiter than snow. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Create inside me a pure heart, O Lord. Renew my spirit that I am restored. Give me the joy your salvation can give. Grant me a spirit that's willing, willing to live. Whiter than snow, whiter than snow. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow. Whiter than snow. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow.
Please tell us what you think about our program. Send an email with your comments, suggestions, or requests. On the Spot. Here, Christ is in the spotlight.
Since 1962, Westfield House in Cambridge has been preparing students with the knowledge, attitudes and skills necessary for the ministry of the Evangelical Lutheran Church and its proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. As a centre of theological studies, it also seeks to serve the Lutheran Church, both in this country and overseas, by the promotion of Christian learning at all levels. Westfield House provides theological education within the framework of a confessional Lutheran perspective and offers resources that further the understanding of that perspective. Westfield House also offers the only significant Lutheran library in the country. Find out more about Westfield House on the internet at www.westfieldhouse.org.uk. Westfield House, the Theological College of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England.
The British Lutheran is the magazine of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England. Published 6 times per year, it looks at topical issues as well as local and international Lutheran news. The magazine also provides a forum for viewpoints and opinions that help us all consider what following Jesus means today. If you would like a free copy of the British Lutheran, contact the ELCE Central Office in Cambridge on central@lutheran.co.uk and ask for a copy to be sent to you. The British Lutheran, the magazine of the ELCE.
If you would like to know more about the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England, then visit our website, www.lutheran.co.uk. On our comprehensive website, you can learn more about us, what we believe, and where we are, with direct links to all our congregations in England, Wales and Scotland. We offer a schedule of all the activities that we're engaged with and which you can attend to get to know more about our Lord Jesus Christ. Should you be interested, you can also find out more about Lutheran theology and Westfield House, the Theological College of the ELCE. If you would like to support our work, you can use our secured link. Visit www.lutheran.co.uk. ELCE, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England.
On the Spot. Here Christ is in the spotlight.
And now back to our show is Pastor Reg Quirk from Resurrection Lutheran Church in Cambridge. And today he's speaking to us about happiness and meaning in our lives, where to find them and what to look for.
I was sitting on a train a few weeks ago. It was about 5 minutes before we were due to leave King's Cross that I saw a young man enter the far end of the carriage. Rather than sitting down, he positioned himself in the aisle and addressed the passengers. There were about a dozen of us, some shoppers laden with bags carrying the names of West End stores, some students, I would guess, and across the aisle from me, a couple of football fans in their team's colours. The man began, "I want to talk to you about God." "Oh no," I thought, "please don't." I don't know why I distrusted him to represent the Almighty, but I felt it in my bones that this was going to be more off-putting than persuading. Anyway, he did. He spoke with surprising assurance about the predicament we all share, that of being lost. A woman sitting midway along the carriage looked up from her book to announce, "I'd rather stay lost and carry on reading." Uh-oh, a heckler to make matters worse. The young man responded, "I understand, but there are others who may want to hear. Does everyone feel the same?" Of course, no one said anything, because unlike the woman who had spoken up, they were probably all British and would rather die than get involved. So the chap had a tacit mandate to continue. And what he continued to say is that God sent his Son to seek and to find the lost. Then he made his way along the carriage, offering a leaflet to each passenger. I was astonished. Everyone took one. The football fan sitting opposite me said, "Thank you," as they did so, really quite loudly. It was intended, I suspect, more for the woman who had interrupted him than for the speaker himself. The leaflet gave details of the young man's Christian group at Brunel University and invited anyone who would like to do so to follow up for more information. You never know, of course, but my guess is that none of those passengers did follow it up. Nevertheless, it was an interesting little drama. Its ending was not what I had anticipated. The courageous young man had not humiliated himself or embarrassed the gospel. The woman's attempt to embarrass him had backfired, and I think she must have felt that everyone's sympathies were not with her. And the reason, I'm speculating, was because the student did not lecture or harangue us, but spoke as one who really cared. That much I think was clear, whether or not you agreed with his message. it brought to mind the words of the first letter of Peter in the New Testament, which urge us always to be prepared to make a defence to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behaviour in Christ may be put to shame. I still have reservations about evangelising in the marketplace or the train. There's a more effective strategy that carries an even higher risk than the evangelist who could end up feeling like a Wally in front of strangers. Some years ago at a Christian conference, an informal poll was taken of those present about how they made their first meaningful encounter with Christianity. Of course, some referred to their baptism in infancy, and rightly so. But for the majority of those present, it was an individual who knew them that first made the introduction to the faith or to the church. And this entails a greater risk, because someone was prepared to put their relationship on the line in order to share the message of faith and life and death. But I did take from that experience on the train a glimmer of hope for the church in these shores. Maybe people are more ready than I realised to hear the reason for the hope that is in us, if we give it with gentleness and respect. If you'd like to hear about that hope, I'm sure you'll find those who are eager to share it in a church near you.
On the Spot. Here Christ is in the spotlight.
Though we're strangers, still I love you. I love you more than your mask. And you know you have to trust this to be true. And I know that's much to ask. Lay down your fears, come and join this feast. He's called us here, you and me.
Peace of Christ to you.
You're listening to On the Spot, the radio program of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England. Here, Christ is in the spotlight.
The British Lutheran is the magazine of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England. Published 6 times per year, it looks at topical issues as well as local and international Lutheran news. The magazine also provides a forum for viewpoints and opinions that help us all consider what following Jesus means today. If you would like a free copy of the British Lutheran, contact the ELCE Central Office in Cambridge on central@lutheran.co.uk and ask for a copy to be sent to you. The British Lutheran, the magazine of the ELCE.
If you would like to know more about the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England, then visit our website, www.lutheran.co.uk. On our comprehensive website, you can learn more about us, what we believe, and where we are, with direct links to all our congregations in England, Wales, and Scotland. We offer a schedule of all the activities that we're engaged with and which you can attend to get to know more about our Lord Jesus Christ. Should you be interested, you can also find out more about Lutheran theology and Westfield House, the Theological College of the ELCE. If you would like to support our work, you can use our secured link. Visit www.lutheran.co.uk. ELCE, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England.
On the Spot. Here Christ is in the spotlight.
Since 1962, Westfield House in Cambridge has been preparing students with the knowledge, attitudes, and skills necessary for the ministry of the Evangelical Lutheran Church and its proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. As a center of theological studies, it also seeks to serve the Lutheran Church, both in this country and overseas, by the promotion of Christian learning at all levels. Westfield House provides theological education within the framework of a confessional Lutheran perspective and offers resources that further the understanding of that perspective. Westfield House also offers the only significant Lutheran library in the country. Find out more about Westfield House on the internet at www.westfieldhouse.org.uk. Westfield House, the Theological College of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England.
On the Spot. The radio program of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England.
Thank you for tuning in. On the Spot is the place where Christ is in the spotlight. If you'd like to comment on the issues we've raised in this program, or if you'd like to ask questions to our guests, then please send an email. You can also get in touch to make suggestions or requests. If you'd like us to approach something you're curious about, then please let us know. We've come to the end of our show, but we'll be back next Wednesday with another hour filled with the good news of Jesus Christ. On the Spot is the radio show of the ELCE, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England. This programme is produced and directed by Jamie Krieger and presented by me, Steve Edge. I wish you a wonderful Wednesday and a blessed week.
Lutheran Radio. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. At the cross, that rugged cross, where I lay my burden down. At the cross, that blood-stained cross, the place where peace is found, I come and lay